6th of July, 1935. Talk number 63. A high officer asked, if juniors are promoted over oneself, the mind is perturbed. Will the inquiry, who am I, help the person to soothe the mind under such circumstances? Maharshi, yes, quite so. The inquiry, who am I, turns the mind inward and makes it calm. Devotee, I have faith in murti dhyana, that is, worship of form. Will it not help me to gain jnana, knowledge? Maharshi, surely it will. Upasana, meditation, helps concentration of mind. Then the mind is free from other thoughts and is full of the meditated form. The mind becomes it, and thus quite pure. Then think, who is the worshipper? The answer is, I, that is the self. So the self is gained ultimately. The present difficulty is that the person thinks that one is the doer. But it is a mistake. It is the higher power which does everything, and the person is only a tool. If one accepts that position, one is free from troubles. Otherwise, one courts them. Take, for instance, the figure in the temple tower, where it is made to appear to bear the burden of the tower on its shoulders. Its posture and look are a picture of great strain while bearing the very heavy burden of the tower. But think, the tower is built on the earth and it rests on its own foundation. The figure, like Atlas bearing the earth, is a part of the tower, but is made to look as if it bore the tower. Is it not funny? So is the person who takes on oneself the sense of doing. Then the Malayalam version of Uladu Narpadu, 40 verses, was read out by a devotee for the benefit of the visitor. After hearing it, he asked, what about the reference to duality in practice and unity at the end? Maharshi, some people think that one must begin practice with dualistic idea. It refers to them. They say that there is God. A person must worship and meditate. Ultimately, the jiva merges into God. Others say that the Supreme Being and the jiva are always apart and never merge into each other. Howsoever it may be in the end, let us not trouble ourselves about it now. All are agreed that the jiva is. Let the person find out the jiva, that is, his self. Then there will be time to find out if the self should merge in the Supreme, is a part thereof, or remains different from it. Let us not forestall the conclusion. Keep an open mind, dive within, and find out the self. The truth will itself dawn upon you. Why should you determine beforehand if the finality is unity absolute or qualified or duality? There is no meaning in it. The ascertainment is now made by logic and the intellect. The intellect derives light from the self, the higher power. How can the reflected and partial light of the intellect envisage the whole and the original light? The intellect cannot reach the self, and how can it ascertain its nature? Such is the significance of the reference. Devotee, one of the stanzas says that the scriptures so scrupulously studied in the earlier stages are ultimately of no use. At what stage do they become useless? Maharshi, when their essence is realized. The scriptures are useful to indicate the existence of the higher power, the self, and the way to gain it. Their essence is that much only. When that is assimilated, the rest is useless. But they are many volumes adapted to the development of the seeker. As one rising up in the scale finds the regions one has passed to be only steps to the higher stage, and so on, the steps ascended become merely arguments previously considered successively until the goal is gained. When the goal is reached, it remains alone, and all the rest becomes useless. That is how the sastras become useless. We read so much. Do we remember all that we read? But have we forgotten the essentials? The essential soaks in the mind, and the rest is forgotten. So it is with the sastras. The fact is that the person considers oneself limited, and there arises the trouble. The idea is wrong. He can see it for himself. In sleep, there is no world, no ego, no limited self, and no trouble. Something wakes up from that happy state and says, I. To that ego, the world appears. Being a speck in the world, one once more and gets into trouble. How happy one was before the rising of the ego. Only the rise of the ego is the cause of the present trouble. Let one trace the ego to its source, and one will reach that undifferentiated happy state, which is sleepless sleep. The self remains ever the same, here and now. There is nothing more to be gained. But the limitations have wrongly been assumed. There is the need to transcend them. It is like the 10 ignorant fools who forded a stream and on reaching the other shore counted themselves to be only 9. They grew anxious and grieved over the loss of the unknown 10th person. A wayfarer, on ascertaining the cause of their grief, counted them all and found them to be 10, but each one of them had counted the others, leaving himself out. The wayfarer gave each in succession a blow, telling them to count the blows. They counted 10 and were satisfied. The moral is that the 10th man was not got anew. He was all along there. But ignorance caused grief to all of them. Again, a woman wore a necklace around her neck, but forgot it. She began to search for it and made inquiries. A friend of hers, finding out what she was looking for, pointed out the necklace round the seeker's neck. She felt it with her hands and was happy. Did she get the necklace anew? Here again, ignorance caused grief, and knowledge, happiness. Similarly also with the person and the self. There is nothing to be gained anew. Ignorance of the self is the cause of the present misery. Knowledge of the self brings about happiness. Moreover, if anything is to be got anew, it implies its previous absence. What remained once absent might vanish again. So there would be no permanency in salvation. Salvation is permanent because the self is here and now and eternal. Thus, the person's efforts are directed toward the removal of ignorance. Wisdom seems to dawn, though it is natural and ever-present. The visitor, while taking leave, saluted the master and said, quote, it is said that the victim in the tiger's mouth is gone forever, unquote. The reference is to a passage in Who Am I, where it is stated that the disciple can never revert to the world after he has once fallen into the field of the guru's gracious look, as surely as the prey in the tiger's jaws cannot escape. Talk number 64. News of someone's death was brought to Sri Bhagavan. He said, "Good, the dead are indeed happy. They have got rid of the troublesome overgrowth, the body. The dead man does not grieve. The survivors grieve for the man who is dead. Do men fear sleep? On the contrary, sleep is courted, and on waking up, every person says that he slept happily. One prepares the bed for sound sleep. Sleep is temporary death. Death is longer sleep. If the person dies while yet alive, he need not grieve over others' death. One's existence is evident with or without the body, as in waking, dream, and sleep. Then why should one desire continuance of the bodily shackles? Let the person find out one's undying self and die and be immortal and happy."